Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
We're turning to Psalm 19. May the Lord bless us today as we study a little further in this psalm. I'm going to read the opening verses again, just to remind you. Not, of course, that you would have forgotten what it says, but just in case. I'll remind myself as well. Verse 1 then, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language, for their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. And we'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will help us to understand what it is he has written for us. Now on Tuesday I strove to press upon you that this psalm tells us that there is before us in the creation a great declaration made by God that we all should heed. All around us today, there are posters, aren't there? As you came to school, I'm sure almost on every telegraph pole, you notice posters. Posters with names in large print and a photograph asking you to vote for that person because there's an election on. And the adults will soon be going to vote. And all around us there are these declarations by various candidates telling us that there's nobody in the world like them. They are the most wonderful thing that ever wore shoes. And how wise you would be if you voted for them. Well, God has been making declarations for thousands of years. And the declaration is written in the stars, in the sun, in the moon, in the earth around us. And God wants you to notice it. I mentioned the posters, the election posters, they're stuck on the telegraph pole. And the election workers, when they were putting them up, they carried a ladder with them. And they put them up the pole as high as they could to catch your eye. Well, none of them were able to put them up as high as God has put up his declaration. As we read this morning, the heavens declare the glory of God. How far away are the stars? In truth, men don't know. They can measure how far away the moon is, how far away the sun is. But there are stars that men can't even see. They haven't invented a telescope powerful enough to see all the stars. So there are stars out there that God has put up that are so far away we just can't measure the distance. That's how high God has put his posters. Boys and girls, God has made a great declaration. He wants us to notice, to take heed to what it is he has written up. There is to be noticed, and I thought about this actually in the middle of the night, the other night, I thought of this. Will you notice in the verse 1 the word declare and also the word showeth, and then verse 2 speech, again showeth, verse 3 again speech, language, voice, verse 4 their line, their words. Those are all words linked to making a declaration. And boys and girls, God is speaking, showing, revealing, using words to get our attention and to pass on to us a message. A message. And I thought, how many witnesses God has, God employs to get across his message. There's the Bible. That's the full and the final witness. There are preachers missionaries, Sunday school teachers, and as well as the human messengers, there's the Holy Spirit. He speaks. When you're out there, sometimes in the playground, maybe there's a moment or two, into your mind comes something you heard in the assembly, or in the classroom, or in the Sabbath services, and God speaks to you by His Spirit, bringing before you His Word. But that's not the only witness. Sometimes God uses accidents. Something happens to us, we take a tumble, and even as we tumble, we realize God did that to bring home to me something I did that was wrong, and I need to repent of it and put it right. Oh, God has so many witnesses. There even was an old prophet, and God wonderfully caused his donkey to speak to him. That was most miraculous, and never was repeated, to my understanding and knowledge. Most donkeys can say very little, only hee-haw, hee-haw. There's a couple of them not far away. And the hee-haw and the hee-haw in the middle of the night. And if I was anywhere near them, I'd like to tell them, would you shut up, for you're stopping me sleeping. But they probably would just say, hee-haw, back to me if I did say that. But God has so many ways of speaking, because He wants us to hear His Word. And one of the methods He has employed is that which is set forth here in this psalm. He has written above our heads and all around us His Word. We sang that lovely hymn this morning, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. And the verse 2 says, when through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. And when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, those are all witnesses appointed of God to speak to us about the Lord, about His greatness, about His splendor. So the first thing we're going to do this morning in the will of the Lord is to notice, and here's a big word, the universality of the message. The universe is all that we observe. And when we use that word, as I am here, using it, the universality of the message, I mean, the message is everywhere. It's everywhere. That's what we're told in these verses we read together. This message that God has given us is not just confined and found only in the Bible. Put us out there. Everywhere. Every wee bird speaks this message. Every animal in the field speaks this message. The stars in the sky, they speak this message. This message of God's greatness and power and majesty. Everybody can read this message, except the blind. And they still can hear it. Because if you're blind, you can still listen as the Bible is read and as the Bible is preached. But certainly everybody can read this message, even you. Oh, you say, I can't read. That's why I'm here at school. I'm learning to read. Ah, but you can read God's message. You can look around you and you can see the flowers. You can see the marvelous colors, even in the most common of flowers, even those flowers we call weeds. What wonderful colours. What wonderful colours. What a miracle each one of them represents, for they come up out of the dirt. And at the first there's nothing really there, just a little stalk. And then they grow and they open and they blossom. And we can say, isn't that a marvellous thing? This is what God is doing. And even though you can't open a book and read the book, you can read that message of the little flower, telling you how wonderful God is. I tell you, boys and girls, this is a universal message. It's everywhere. Everywhere. Oh, that God would give us eyes to see this message and to understand this message. No matter what your mother tongue is, here we speak English. We speak English. And if we meet, I've mentioned this, if we meet a Chinese man, We can't communicate. He gabbles away and we don't know what he's saying. We gabble away and he doesn't know what we're saying. But the Chinaman and us, who cannot understand each other, can both look and read God's message and understand it. The Chinaman can look at the flowers and he can understand the wonders. And all the other things that are out there are on display. No matter what your language is, you can admire them. And there's not a language in the world in which you will not find books written about the wonders of nature. Now, not all of the books are written so as to marvel at the mercy and the wonders of God. They're written and they marvel at the beauty of all that is around, but not all of them can quite catch the fact that the heavens declare the glory of God. But the message basically can be understood no matter what is your native language. And as I say, even the youngest boy or girl here, whether or not they can read, if mommy or daddy allows them out after dark and they look up into the sky, they will have to marvel at it all. They'll have to marvel at it all. The other day, it was Tuesday when I came home, my wife reminded me of a little incident when one of our boys was very small, very young. And we must have been having a little walk after dark. And suddenly, our little son noticed something. He noticed the stars. And he exclaimed excitedly, "Oh look! God has let the stars out." That was just a little boy observing something. He never said anything to him about the matter. But even that little boy could understand what was taking place above him. Oh, boys and girls, this is a universal language. And no matter what age you are, if you look out there, you'll see God's message of his greatness and his power and his splendor and his glory. Romans chapter 10 and the verse 18 says, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." That's the words of God. It's heard everywhere. God never left out one nation, for he wants all men to know about him. He wants you to know about him. He wants you to know about him. Now, let's notice the word line there. Would you please notice it? Verse 4 of Psalm 19. Their line is gone out through all the earth. Here again, you see, there's this mention of universal speaking by God. Their line. Now, what does it mean, their line? Well, very briefly, I'll tell you that the word line is used in the Bible to refer to that which is a measuring cord. I'm sure you in school have at some time or other taken a line, stretched it out on something, and then gone and measured the distance that you've marked out on the line. And you've used this line as a measuring cord. Well, that's what it's used as in the Bible. In the heavens, God says, all that we see, and in the earth as well, all around us, all that we see is a measuring line. It measures something. What does it measure? God. That's what it measures. All that we look about us and see measures God. It shows his greatness. It shows his splendor. It causes us to recognize how great is God. That's what the heavens and the earth do. They teach us the dimensions of God. You know what the word dimension means. If we take a box, the dimensions of the box are its width, its length, and its height. That gives us the size of the box. Well, if I might use that word about God, the heavens show us the dimensions of God. And men, even though they're very limited in their knowledge and their understanding, recognize that there's no end to the universe. There's no end to the universe. If you could get in a spaceship and start off, you could go on and on and on and on and on and on forever, because there's no end to the universe. And that tells us the measurement of God. God is eternal. God is eternal. We can't really understand that, sure we can. But nevertheless, we recognize that what we're taught by what we look at and see above us and around us is the greatness of God, the measurement of God. Oh, boys and girls, what wonders are revealed for us of God as we look around. His supreme greatness, His infinite wisdom. What wisdom lies behind the creation? Men have studied the earth and all that is around ever since man existed. But he still hasn't come to a full understanding of what it is God has created. If we listen carefully every day, you will hear somebody say, "You don't quite understand this." The government yesterday acknowledged that when the COVID infection began, they didn't understand all about it. And they still don't understand it. They might know a wee bit more about it, but they don't fully understand it. And that's how it is in this world. Men are constantly having to acknowledge, "We don't understand this," because we're taught by what we see around us, the infinite, the endless greatness of God's wisdom. Let me come to a third point. In the last verse that we read together, verse 4, the end of that verse says this: "In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun." If you look up into the sky, the chief thing you see in the daytime is the sun, shining brighter than anything. Sometimes, maybe in this country, it gets hidden behind the clouds, but it's there all the time. The chief object is the sun. And let me tell you that the chief object in the affairs of this world is the sun. We'd die if the sun disappeared. We would die. Nothing would grow. There'd be no food. And we ourselves, we depend on the sun. That's why on a nice sunny day, you love getting out. You mightn't think about it. You mightn't say, "Why do I feel so wonderful on this sunny day?" But you feel wonderful because of the sun. Because of the sunshine. We all like the winter to pass and the sun to become much more prominent and higher in the heavens. Oh, how vital, how important, how central the sun is to our life. And there's a great lesson there, boys and girls. Do you know that the Lord Jesus is spoken of as the sun? Not S-O-N, well, he's called that most certainly, but S-U-N, he's called the Son of Righteousness. The Lord Jesus is referred to as a sun from whom there comes sunshine. And just as the sun is the chief object in the sky, so the Lord Jesus is the chief object in the Bible. He's the chief object of God's revelation. All that God wants us to hear centers upon the Lord Jesus. Centers upon the Lord Jesus. He's a chief subject of God's revelation. Chief subject. I read to you from the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, the chapter 4 and the verse 2. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness," S-U-N, "arise with healing in his wings." Now we have to explain that word "wings." Have you ever seen the sun shining from behind the cloud? What is it you see? You see rays of light, don't you? On the cloud, you see them spreading out from where the sun is shining. What do they look like? Wings. They look just like wings spread out. And that's what the word is referring to here. So that we could read with healing in his rays. Wherever the sun shines, it brings healing to our bodies. It does. That's why we love the sunshine. It brings healing, virtue, blessing to us physically. And it speaks to us of what the Lord Jesus brings to us. When the light of the gospel shines on us, it brings healing. Boys and girls, I remember the moment the sunshine from heaven fell on me. The very moment. It was about 9 o'clock on the 5th of April, 1964. And from that moment, I felt healing. I felt healing. I was delivered from the ailments that were a curse to me and bringing me down to hell. And that moment, strength and life and power and blessing came into my soul, and I began to live. And I've been living ever since. The sunshine of God. There's healing. There's blessing there for us. Then again, as the sun is the chief object in the sky, so the Lord Jesus is the central person, the chief person in the Bible. There's a lovely verse. I've often used it for a number of purposes. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. To him gave all the prophets witness. To him. There wasn't a prophet who preached anything other than Jesus Christ. Every prophet. Every prophet. They all lived in different ages. There were different circumstances around them in the nation, but they all preached the Lord Jesus. He's the chief subject of the Bible. Just like the sun is the chief and principal object in the heavens. If you haven't read the Bible and seen the Lord Jesus, then you haven't read the Bible, because he's there, central to the Bible. And let me just say one thing in closing. There's not a place on the earth that the sun hasn't reached. Some places have more sunshine than others. We might like in this country to have more sunshine, but we still have a measure of sunshine. And there are days when the sun is shining so bright, and I don't know about you, though I'm sure you have the same feeling as I do, on a bright and sunny day, we forget all the dull days. We forget them. And we just are so happy and delighted, and we rejoice in the brightness and the warmth of the sun. There's not a place in all the world but the sunshine. And boys and girls, there's not a man, there's not a woman, there's not a girl, nor is there a boy in all the earth but will find in the Bible a sunshine that will do them eternally good. Has the light of God's precious truth shone on you? Has it brought healing to you? Have you been brought out of darkness into the light of God? Are you saved today, boys and girls? Are you? Are you saved? And are you rejoicing in God's sunshine? Just as the sun is up there, the chief object of our view of heaven, so the Lord Jesus ought to be the chief object of our sight, and we should keep our eyes on him and enjoy the blessings that he alone can give. Well, let's bow together in prayer. Dear Lord, write your word on hearts. Please give us understanding of these glorious, glorious truths. And may our eyes be open to the wonders and the splendors and the beauties of the Lord Jesus, the Son of Righteousness. Bless the school today. Keep it safe. Remember those unable still to be amongst us. May your healing touch be upon them this day. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.